They looked like a really good team. They ran into the Chicago Blackhawks, who are a very good team. Are the Blues better than they were last season?
You know what? I think they are. You know, I think they're certainly deeper. You look at the well, you know, what they bring to the table on the back end, especially. They're certainly deeper now than they were a year ago with the addition of Robert Bortuzzo and also Zdeněk Mikálek. For some reason, I have a hard time saying his name all the time because, you know, I always said it one way, Jason, for years, and then all of a sudden he comes to the team and he says, no, I want to pronounce it this way. So I'm trying to remember how he wants it pronounced. But so with the addition of those two players, you know, all of a sudden that's changed things. You know, look at how well they're playing right now without Kevin Shattenkirk. And you can say the same for a lot of teams around the National Hockey League right now that are winning a lot of games without their best players. When you think about the New York Rangers with Lundqvist being down and Patrick Kane in Chicago, I mean, Krejci obviously in Boston probably isn't their best player, but certainly an impact player, and they're finding ways to win. The Blues are doing the same without Kevin Shattenkirk. But you look at last year's team, I don't think they had you know, the scoring ability that this team has right now. I think the addition of a guy like Paul Stastny, I think, makes them deeper to go along with the emergence of Dmitry Yaskin. And we know the names. I mean, when you think about Schwartz and Tarasenko and Bakhestin and Oshie, I mean, this team certainly is primed and ready, you would think, come playoff time.
Well, Tarasenko, man, he's one of the most exciting players in the game. And, you know, he's 220 pounds, that a lot of people don't know. He's got 68 points, 34 goals. He's plus 30. You know, he's got 240 shots. And he only plays 17 minutes a night, right? He's not a guy who's playing 19 or 20. I know they have a lot of balance. Do you think come playoff time, a guy like Tarasenko might see more minutes?
You know, it's a good question. And I asked Ken Hitchcock this recently, the same exact question, you know, just having a conversation with Hitch. You know, I do think he will, you know, and obviously depending on the, you know, on the score and, you know, how desperate the team is to win, depending on where they're at in the series, you know, obviously he's a guy you're going to turn to when you need offense. You know, this guy doesn't kill penalties. You know, sometimes we can look at the ice time and, you know, look at a guy like Rick Nash is another example. I think he plays less than Tarasenko. I'd like to see Tarasenko be up in that 18 to 19 minute range, you know. Those are the minutes that you see guys like Steen and Backes and Oshie eat up offensively for the Blues. I mean, even Yaskin, or excuse me, Stastny will be up around the 18-19 minute mark, you know, on a lot of nights. And it becomes, you know, it comes down to special teams. Those guys play, you know, have a lot of responsibility killing penalties along with the power play. But you look at Tarasenko, I mean, just about every single one of his, you know, shifts begin in the offensive zone. So they obviously use him the right way, and he's a big part of the power play. But this guy has the ability to score goals, there's no doubt about it, and he scores goals in so many different ways. That's why you just can't really keep him off the score sheet for a long, extended period of time because of his, you know, how dynamic he is and his ability to score goals in so many different ways. I think that's what separates him even from some of the other, you know, top goal scorers in the National Hockey League right now is just how many different ways he can score. Most of the top guns probably can't say that.
What is the update on Shattenkirk? When's he going to be back?
Well, okay, so it's 6 weeks today since he had the surgery, and I think that was the timetable heading into things. Now, the Blues have said week to week, really, from the onset. You look at some other players in the past who have dealt with a similar injury. Typically, it's a 6-7-8 week injury, somewhere around that range. He's been feeling pretty good now for a couple of weeks. I think the Blues are going to play it very, very smart, as they should. Just like the Pittsburgh Penguins and a guy like Evgeny Malkin. There's no point right now in rushing these type of players back, even if they feel 100%, especially when you're winning games. I know they're in competition right now. You talk about the Blues trying to win the division, President's Trophy is at stake and all that type of stuff. But we all know they're going to be judged in terms of how they do come playoff time. And you want to make sure you have Kevin Shattenkirk 100% in the playoffs, not in the last couple of games of the regular season. So they're going to be smart. But I would expect to see him back sometime for sure within the next 7 days, I would think. And you know, the one game, Jason, real quick, that I had circled at the time of the injury, they're on a six-game road trip right now, the longest road trip of the season.
Yeah.
You know, after tonight, they move on. They've got three more games in this road trip. Then they're going to come home, and they're going to have three full off days between their next game, which is a home game a week from this Saturday against Columbus. And that was the date that I had circled at the time of the injury, just because you have those days in between the last game of this road trip and then the next home game. I wouldn't be shocked if they held him out. I think that would be March 28th. So we'll see if they wait until then to bring him back.
Andy Strickland joins us talking to St. Louis Blues. Now, Andy, we saw last year what happened when they have to face the defending champs in the first round. It's pretty tough in Chicago. How important is it for the Blues, do you think, to finish first and avoid Chicago in the first round?
You know, I'm not so sure. I think we've had this conversation before. I mean, you look at some of the top teams in the Western Conference. I mean, I think anybody would probably want to avoid the Chicago Blackhawks, right? The LA Kings are a team who are playing as well as anybody, at least over the last couple of weeks. And, of course, they are the big, bad LA Kings. Ken Hitchcock calls them, you know, the bear in the trash can outside of your tent. You know, you just kind of want to stay away from the LA Kings. You know, they have championship pedigree. The core of their players have won. They know how to win. You know, they're built for the playoffs. These are teams that have the ability to flip a switch come playoff time and, you know, to play at the level necessary to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I don't think you can be too worried about it, to be honest with you. And I know it's cliche to say, but you're going to have to play these teams at some point if you're going to come out of the Western Conference. But if you can avoid it, and all of a sudden you're looking at a first-round matchup against a team like Minnesota, for example, or even a Winnipeg. I know Winnipeg's been a great story, and they are a good team. And whoever faces them in the first round, if they get in, even if they advance, they're going to feel it because of how physical Winnipeg plays. But I think, obviously, if you had to make a choice, you'd rather take on one of those teams, or even a Nashville, for example, ahead of the Chicago Blackhawks. But you just never know. I mean, you could end up winning the division and be stuck playing the LA Kings, who could be a wild card team come playoff time. So, even last year, you know, Colorado won the division. They lost to Minnesota in the first round. I know it's Colorado Avalanche. We're talking Minnesota here, different teams. But I think all the first-round matchups in the Western Conference last year, just about all of them were seeing overtime games on a regular basis. So there's very little separation. Everybody gets 100 points nowadays. And there truly are, in my opinion, no real great, and I mean great teams in the National Hockey League, that separate themselves from the pack. There's a lot of really good teams, and there's a bunch of teams that could come out of the West and the Eastern Conference and find their way into the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't see a superior team out there, though.
Well, no, Andy, I looked at it, actually, dating back to since they brought in 30 teams. There's never been a race like this across the board when you've got this many teams, you know, Rangers, Montreal, Anaheim, St. Louis, Nashville, Chicago. They're all within 5 points, the top seven teams in the league. And well, what's funny is usually the Stanley Cup winner comes from the top eight teams, either at the end of the season or late in the year when I did the article, which was on March 13th. So I think there's a good chance any of them could win the Cup, but there definitely isn't a standalone team. Maybe home ice advantage becomes a factor. But the other thing is, and the big question from everybody outside St. Louis is goaltending. When the playoffs start, who do you think is their go-to guy?
Brian Elliott's going to be the guy. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility to throw at Jake Allen. And I think, you know, you can probably be sure that, you know, internally the Blues have discussed the idea of going with Jake. And there have been times that Brian Elliott hasn't had his best game and Allen's had an opportunity to maybe, you know, become real, you know, a truly part of the competition. And he hasn't really been able to always take advantage of that. So, you know, it's going to be a Brian Elliott show. And listen, they signed this guy to a 3-year contract extension. The Blues elected not to bring back, you know, Ryan Miller. They traded Yaro Halak last year for Miller. So I think that was, you know, the decision they made at that time. Now, things can always change once you get to the playoffs. They can always turn to another goaltender if they wanted to. Jake Allen very well may be the goaltender of the future for the St. Louis Blues, but right now, I think you got to look at Brian Elliott as being the guy. You know, he went to the All-Star game. He just broke the record for the career shutout mark in the history of the St. Louis Blues. And they've had a lot of great goaltenders over the years here in St. Louis with Curtis Joseph and Grant Fuhr. You know, Jack Plante, Glenn Hall, Greg Millen. You know, you go down the line, Mike Liut. I mean, it's been some really good ones. And so he's got the most shutouts in the history of the Blues organization. And that's not why you say he's the starter. But again, he's had a good season. He's put together a solid resume since coming to St. Louis, and I think he's earned that opportunity.
The defense pairings, when Shattenkirk's back healthy and the playoffs start, who do you think are pair 1, 2, and 3 in St. Louis?
Well, this is the million-dollar question, and everybody's kind of beating their head against the wall trying to figure that out around here. You know, we saw Barrett Jackman sit two nights ago in Calgary. You know, here's a guy who he's played the second most games in the history of the St. Louis Blues in terms of games with the Blues behind Bernie Federquay, past Brian Sutter for the most games, second most all-time with the St. Louis Blues. But you're going to have to make some hard decisions. There's no doubt about it. I talked to Ken Hitchcock about this at length yesterday. And I really believe it comes down to who they play, Jason. You know, I think the opponent is going to dictate which direction you go in. I think the guys who you can guarantee that will be in there are Bo Meester, Petrangelo. Right now it looks like Gunnarsson to go along with Shattenkirk. And then, you know, Zeebnik McCulloch, I mean, they made the move to get him. I would think that he's a guarantee. And then all of a sudden you have three guys competing for that final spot with Petteri Lindbom, who's been a really, really nice story for the Blues. They like him a lot. He's a young player from Finland, former draft pick. They didn't even expect him to be here right now. You know, he made his way here out of training camp, and they expected him to return back to Finland, where he's from, to continue playing pro hockey there and continue to develop. Began the year in the American Hockey League. He excelled there, and he's spent a good chunk of the season here in the National Hockey League. He is a big part of the equation here.
Really?
To go along with Robert Bortuzzo and Barrett Jackman. Chris Butler obviously is in the mix as well, but it may be hard for him to slide in. So that last spot could very well be on a rotating basis, and I do think it's going to come down to who they match up against. If it's a physical opposition like you're seeing tonight in Winnipeg, then I think obviously you're going to want a Bortuzzo or a Jackman type in there. If it's a team that's built with speed, you know, you may have to go in a different direction.
Andy Strickland joins us. Mahalik, how has he looked? I know it's only three games. How's he looked with the Blues?
He's looked okay. You know, I mean, he hasn't stood out good or bad for me personally. But he's a veteran player who obviously is trying to get his timing back. I mean, the adjustment is there, obviously, playing with a new team. But not just playing with a new team. This guy hadn't played since Valentine's Day because he had the head injury. So dealing with that as well, I think you got to cut him some slack and give him some time to find some rhythm and to find an adjustment. And this guy's played with a couple of different players already as well in the three games. I think he spent a game playing with Bo Meester. He played with Jackman one game. I mean, this guy has kind of bounced around a little bit. So, you know, that's the one thing the Blues have right now. You know, you always hear it's a good problem to have, and it very well may be. But I wouldn't want to be Ken Hitchcock right now and have to make these decisions in terms of who's going to play and who's not going to play. Because there's going to be guys sitting out that would easily crack the top six of a lot of other playoff teams that are out there. And even you look up front, I mean, they acquired a guy like Olli Jokinen. He's a veteran player, certainly has a lot of experience in the regular season. But, you know, the top nine is pretty much set. And any rotation or guys coming in and out will probably fall with the fourth line. So, and, again, listen, I'm not too worried about it on the back end either. It's getting a lot of traction here in St. Louis, but we're talking about one defenseman on the third pair.
Mm-hmm.
So your top four is set. Your top five is really set, to be honest with you. So we're talking about interchanging one player on your bottom pair and interchanging one player on your fourth line. So it probably isn't as big of a deal as we make it out to be.
Of the three UFA defensemen, Jackman, Butler, Mahalik, do they sign any of them?
That's a great question, because I think Bortuzzo's coming back for sure. I mean, he's an RFA, and it's funny because, you know, the Blues have some strong relationships on their coaching staff with the coaching staff in Pittsburgh, and the scouting report they got from the staff in Pittsburgh didn't include some of the things that he's probably best at in terms of his poise with the puck and his ability to make plays with the puck. They're really surprised by that. And if you look at Bortuzzo, he played with a younger partner during his time in Pittsburgh, probably didn't get to showcase his ability with the puck as much as he has here in St. Louis. They're really surprised at how good he's playing. And it's not just the coaching staff blowing smoke, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to veteran players on this roster privately, and they're saying the same thing. I had one guy tell me that he's been an absolute breath of fresh air just in terms of how he plays, his poise with the puck, allowing guys to kind of come to him before he makes a play, hanging on to it for the final, you know, for that last and final second, or extra second, I should say. You know, his ability to really shoot the puck from the back end. The Blues don't have a heavy shot on the back end. And Bortuzzo is never going to be compared with, you know, Al MacInnis or Shea Weber, but he shoots the puck hard every time. And, you know, if you're a guy who stands in front, takes a beating in front, you want guys who shoot the puck quick and shoot the puck hard. Bortuzzo does that. And a lot of people have taken notice of that. So to get back to your question, I think playoff success or playoff failure is going to determine whether or not we see these guys back next year.
Well, Barrett Jackman, I think, would be the one that would be the tough decision. A long-time Blue for sure. What is he second all-time in games played now?
Yeah, I just said that a few minutes ago. Yeah, he passed Brian Sutter.
Yeah.
So he's second all time. And again, he won a Calder Trophy here years ago. This guy's a real proud player, loved by his teammates, has a lot of relationships, close relationships with people off the ice as well within the organization.
How much does he have left?
That is going to be a tough, tough decision. There's no doubt about that.
How much does he have left, Andy? You've watched his whole career.
Well, let me just say this. He's not the player that he once was. You know, I mean, it's the speed of the game more than anything.
Okay.
You know he's going to compete. And you know he's got that kind of pit bull personality inside of him. I don't look at him like he's some type of slug who can't play right
now. Yeah, no.
I can tell you this. He can help a lot of teams out there. But the St. Louis Blues are considered an elite team in the National Hockey League. And to crack that top six, it's not easy. He can easily find a spot, and he'll get a multi-year contract from somebody if it's not here in St. Louis. But I can tell you this, the Blues have yet to turn the page on Barrett Jackman. That story and that chapter has yet to be closed, and I don't even want to go there because it's way too premature. Again, playoff performance for all these guys, it's no different than any other year. That's going to determine, you know, where we're at. But if you're asking me if Barrett Jackman can still play in the National Hockey League beyond this season, the answer is absolutely yes.
And lastly, quickly, in 30 seconds, there's been so much talk. If the Blues, you know, only win one round or go out early, is Ken Hitchcock's job on the line?
Well, maybe. I mean, listen, this is, again, these are the questions that I get asked all the time. But if you just use common sense here, from this standpoint, he doesn't have a contract beyond this year, right? So typically, if you don't have a contract and you have high expectations and you fail to meet those expectations, we see changes that come with it. You know, you just got to keep a realistic approach. Doesn't mean they're going to make a change. Doesn't mean they will. Doesn't mean they won't. But I can say this. The team's had a lot of success since Ken Hitchcock got here. This is my 16th year covering the Blues. I've seen them really, really good under Joel Quenneville. I mean, the first year I covered the team, they won the President's Trophy, McInnes, Pronger, Demetra, the whole nine yards. Okay? And then I've seen this team, you know, finish last in the National Hockey League. Ken Hitchcock has made a world of difference for the St. Louis Blues. They've won a lot of games since he got here, and it would be tough to get rid of them if they have a nice little run here in the playoffs.
Andy, always good to talk to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Okay, Jason. Thanks, man. Anytime.